do spend that time to actually research what you want, because that will come in really important during the actual negotiation phases and during what I call the data reveal phases. Because if you don't know what you want, how the bloody hell are you going to ask for it?
Hello and welcome. My name is Charles Spence, host of A Dose of Reality, where we discuss some of the hardest parts about clinical leadership and how to build a meaningful career. Join me as I interview leaders, share career insights, and help you on your journey to becoming a global clinical leader.
Okay, so in this episode, we're going to talk about everyone's favorite subject. Well, at least it's my favorite subject, and that is money. Now, one of the questions I get the most often is how to deal with salary negotiations. I get it. We get it. You get it. You didn't join the industry to save lives, then talk about salary and your money. However, we're all human and we need to make sure we're fairly paid. Now, in my experience, if you have an immigrant background or you're young or you're female or you're introverted, or if you're all four of those things, you're more likely to struggle with discussing your salary. Now, maybe it goes back to your childhood traumas and not feeling worthy enough, or maybe you just don't know the skills to actually do it. I hope it's the second one, because that is what I'm going to teach you today. If you're looking to advice on childhood trauma, definitely don't come to me. So in this section, we're gonna break down here what to do before an application, what to do during an application, and then the actual salary negotiation part itself. And we're going to be breaking that down further as well. All right. So let's get on with it, shall we? Right. Jumping in before an application. So we're going to go through the main sections here. So before an application, we've got, you want to be thinking about career opportunities versus money. We want to then be doing research. We want to be thinking about the things you want, which isn't just about money, things you can give outside of just the job description, and then how to deal with application forms and recruiters. Okay, so going into the career opportunity versus money, this is really important. You want to figure out, like, actually how important is money to you, right? Because if you're going to join a prestigious firm with fantastic career opportunities and you're not going to get as much salary as perhaps you have now, you got to think, is that worth more or less? And I think too many people get caught up here on trying to get the best deal for themselves when they don't have a big picture thought in their head, especially if you are younger coming into your career. Now, luckily, I work with a lot of intelligent people who do see this, but I just want to emphasize that point that money is not everything. Regardless, if it's still an opportunity to work for a prestigious firm, we're still going to be asking for money. We're still going to be going through the steps. But I just want you to be thinking about that. Now, the next part you want to be doing is research, 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 research. What are the salary bandings? What types of companies pay what? What do you get if you work in this city versus that city? You want to be getting all these data points in. For example, biotechs are paying less now than they were 3 years ago. Shock, right? I mean, who would have thought in this current climate? So you want to be thinking of getting those research points down. Now, part of your research is going to be the you want. Okay, now these are things which perhaps are not just tied to your salary. You're going to be listing all the things that could be perfect. And I would recommend getting an Excel sheet and listing all these things out. Okay, so then you have your salary range, but that's just one point. What about things like your work-life balance, job security, career opportunities, social aspects, learning opportunities, prestige, family benefits? Go list everything. Imagine you are walking into a company and you say to the company, with 100% guarantee, I'm going to make your company the most successful company in the world, and I'm going to quadruple everything. If there's 100% guarantee, you could probably ask for a lot in that situation. So you want to be listing out everything you would ask for in that situation, okay? Go through the things which are not just money focused. Go list all of them out, and then you probably want to go through and rank them. Go sit down with your coach, go sit down with your friends or your family, and rank which ones are actually important, which ones are nice to have, which ones actually you don't really care about. And then you could also rank them in how likely you are to get them, okay? So if, for example, you want to get a 5,000 expense allowance each month to pay for food, and that's super important to you, well, then go figure that out. And then you could also make a note for it. Well, if you can't get that, can you ask for more money? So do spend that time to actually research what you want, because that will come in really important during the actual negotiation phases and during what I call the data reveal phases. Because if you don't know what you want, how the bloody hell are you going to ask for it? And that is where most people's negotiations break down, because they go, oh, yeah, that's actually pretty good. Oh, well, the salary's not that good, but I get A, B, C, and D. So make sure that you're really researching what the hell you want. Now, this is why I'm fantastic at what I do. I'm a great recruiter, and a lot of people work me. Because a lot of people forget about what you're going to give. Now, how the bloody hell are you going to ask these things if you're not even worth it, right? You want to be listing all the things that you can give to an employer. You want to be listing your achievements, why you're so great. And then you want to be listing all the things outside of that as well. Can you come to the office more? Do you have leadership experience? Do you have mentorship experience? Have you raised money for previous companies? Can you, whatever it is, what are you actually going to give, which offers 10 to 20 to 30% more than what the role is asking for, which allows you to ask for 10 to 20 to 30% more than what the role is giving? So make sure you make a list of just how bloody wicked you are. Now, that is the research piece. Now, if you've got that written down, you've got it in Excel, you've got the matrix on what's important, what's not, what you can give, that is by default, all negotiations for the rest of your life are just going to be slightly better. Just by doing that and listening to this, you're probably going to get a 5 to 10% better offer, deal, whatever. And the same applies for when you're asking internally in your current company, right? Doesn't need to be changing a different company. So, next stage is going on to the application form and if you're working with a recruiter. Now, many application forms ask, what's your salary? Okay, now I know you can't do that in the US. It's becoming more and more and more unfashionable in Europe, but they might say something like, what's your expected salary? Now, if you can give a range, right? The range, let's say you want 100,000 and anything above that you're happy with, okay? You've done your research, you know kind of what these types of roles can offer. You might want to put something like 97,000 because it looks specific, right? Not just made up. 97,400 to 123,750, right? Use specific numbers because it looks like there's some thought gone into it. If you can't give a range, well, I say go after that because I think it's unfair. You shouldn't have to just give one number because you don't know all the data points. You wouldn't. I don't know, if you're playing poker, you wouldn't make the bet until you've at least looked at your cards. So just put zero, or put 9999999999. Or in German, that would be no. Okay? And the same with the recruiter, right? One very simple skill that I want to make sure that everyone is using, by the way, we call it the old flip. Now, if someone asks you, what do you want? You go, that's a good question. Well, what are they offering? Give it the old flip. Get really used to flipping the question back to someone. So if a recruiter asks you, hey, so what are you expecting this role? I go, that's a great question. What is the kind of expectations for this role? Okay. Some recruiters are terrible, right? They're really terrible. They're not going to know. They're just asking to say they don't care. And they want to, I don't know, they just want to hide. They don't want to do their work. But some recruiters will actually give you that information and make sure your application is optimized as possible, i.e. me. So make sure you work with them. So give the flip. Make sure you're as vague as possible at the beginning. Okay, now during the application phase, now this, if you get a first round interview and things are looking more and more positive, then you want to start researching more about the company and specific to the company. Okay, maybe you get more information from your recruiter. Maybe you get more information during your interviews. Maybe you ask someone during the company if you've got a relationship. Or maybe you ask someone who left the company if you have a relationship with them. Which is where your networking comes in useful. Okay. During an application, try to create the illusion of scarcity. Try to create the illusion of you don't need them. Okay. Yeah, I've got another interview right now with a 75 person company in Seattle. That's going pretty well. They've got some really interesting stuff right now. And things at my company are pretty good as well, like whatever it is. But I'm really interested. I also really like what you're doing in ABC. Okay, give that illusion that you don't really care. Okay, because you'll be able to use that later on. again during any attempt by HR or hiring managers right at the beginning, if they want to ask you, so what's your salary? What are you expecting? Give them the old flip. No, that's not, you're not flipping them the bird. You're giving them the flip around. When they say, so what are you expecting from this job? Good question. Well, I like what I heard so far. I'm curious, what are you offering for this position? Right, you have to try to make that natural. That can be quite difficult to practice that. But if there's one thing I really, 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 really want to emphasize during an application is focus on being a bloody rock star during it. Overimpress them with your knowledge, your passion, your expertise, your everything, because that is what's going to lead to a higher salary increase anyway. Okay, make sure that's your focus. If you forget to do the flipping of the bird, not the bird, but flipping of the questions, and you screw up your salary range, don't worry. Focus on being a rock star. That's the biggest battle, right? No offer, doesn't matter how good your salary negotiation is. If you don't got an offer, you don't got an offer. Make sure you are a rock star. Make sure your interview prep is fantastic. That is what you should be focusing on during your application phase. Okay, the last section, during the negotiation phase. So everything that I've taken here, well, not everything, but many of the elements I've taken from the previous sections, this section is coming from my own knowledge, and it's coming from two books. And that's Chris Voss's Never Split the Difference, an incredible book about negotiation, and Keith Ferrazzi's Never Eat Alone, which is basically, how can I help others first before helping myself? Okay. Now, Chris Voss's Never Split the Difference, he talks about one of the biggest breakdown in deals is something called loss aversion. Now, loss aversion is when fear starts to creep in that you're going to lose out on this offer. And loss aversion happens when delays start to happen getting that contract done. So have that in mind. Do not accept that first offer. It's fine going back and forth on emails. If you've really impressed them and you've really gone that extra mile in impressing them, there can be a delay. Get comfortable with that delay. If they don't reply back to an email 3 or 4 days later, be comfortable with it, okay? The deals, people accepting deals happen because they're scared of loss aversion. They're scared when things get delayed, okay? So get comfortable with that. And I use a great example. Getting flats here in Berlin is a nightmare. And when we were going searching, I got the contract from the landlords. My girlfriend's like, hey, we got to sign it as quick as possible. We got to sign it. We got to sign it. I mean, she doesn't sound like Donald Trump, but she was that aggressive. I said, well, we've got the contract. They probably don't want to find more people. We've got to ask some questions. She said, no. I was like, well, the worst is we just go back to the offer they've given us. We can always go back to that default, right? The best outcome is we get a reduced rent. We get some questions and answered about this and this and that. And that's exactly what happened. Don't be afraid of that loss aversion. So moving on from that mindset mastery, I always try to follow a rule of three. Always ask three times. The negotiations break down because people ask once or twice and then they accept it. Ask at least three times when you're at that negotiation phase. So always be thankful, always be polite, always be excited. We're just going to move on from those basics, okay? But then when you get that offer come through, we want to use, again, data gathering. Again, imagine you're playing poker and you have the opportunity to look at people's cards. That's going to have a huge impact on your decision making. So when you get an offer, ask loads of questions. Go back to your matrix. Hey, what about this? What about that? Do you offer this? Do you offer this? Move away from that salary pieces and ask soft questions to get information. Okay. And then you can get all these bits of information. Now, when you come to the actual salary part, you can then be giving them a bit of a range of what you're looking for. Hey, I'm happy with the 100. Okay. I understand that. The range I was looking for, based on the information I've got now going through this process, was closer more to the range of 107 to 124,000. What can we do here? Okay, what can we do here? So you're giving them the illusion that they're in the control. Okay. Now, it's going to go one of two ways, right? One, they just cave straight away. Two, they don't cave. Okay. Now, if they cave straight away, awesome. Let's continue with this path. You say, hey, they say, okay, well, look, we can offer you 107. With a smile, with a bit of cheekiness, you know, with a bit of charisma, you say, 107, hey, that's amazing. Would it be really cheeky if we meet closer in the middle? Just make it a nice whole number of, let's say, 110. In return, A, B, C, and D. Okay? And you've already on your way to an extra better offer. Now, if they're going to play hardball, then you want to make sure you're empathizing with them. Hey, I understand market conditions are tough. I understand that you want to make sure you reserve the cash flow. Look, hey, here's what I offer. If we can get to, and again, you're just giving the offer, that if we can get closer to that range, I don't know, something between 107 to 110, in return, I want to make sure I'm going to give this and this and that, and you're going to be the happiest manager in the world. And then you can also add a line, if we can get in that range, I will sign this contract this week and I will cancel all the other interviews with all the other firms. How do you feel about that? You're throwing in loss aversion in there. You're empathizing with them. You're showing you're trying to make a natural solution and you give them a bit of a timeline pressure. It's a fantastic way of deal making. So a lot to digest there. Hopefully you re-listen to this. Go check out Chris Voss's book. Go check out some, I'm sure there's loads of stuff on the internet for this. But if there's one thing I want to make sure you can give people, make sure that you get comfortable with that mindset and make sure you never accept anything on a call with someone. Always take a step back to reflect how it fits into your decision-making framework. Because if you make those decision-making frameworks, you're going to remove that emotional bias during those discussions. Cool. Right. Hopefully that can help any negotiation, not just salary, but if you're speaking to your bosses, you're speaking to your juniors, whatever it is, you can use these strategies to shift that more in the favor of yourself. And if you are looking for career coaching, looking for a new job, or just want to get in touch, you know where to find me. Okay. Good luck. Ciao.
Thank you for listening to this show. Now, if you've enjoyed it, then click subscribe, leave a review, or just let me know it's valuable. You know what? We all have doubts from time to time, and receiving these small pieces of encouragement can have a huge impact. And of course, if you are looking for a career change or you want to be connected with fantastic people in our networks, then please contact me directly either on my email, charles@deserra-search.com, or on my LinkedIn. You can also find access to more material, courses, and any other stuff which can help you on your leadership and your career journey. Thanks again for listening and have a great rest of the day.